right, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. Let me take just a moment as I begin today to say some thank yous. I really appreciate the prayers and support of so many of you and so many loved ones here in our church family. Arlene and I left town quite suddenly a couple weeks ago after my great niece died, and we went down to be with family. We went down on a Saturday. Actually got there on the Sunday, expecting the funeral to be like Tuesday or Wednesday, and then because of circumstances, it wasn't held until the following Saturday afternoon. Therefore, I was gone again last Sunday, and we got back here late Sunday night. But I just really wanted to say thank you to the leadership here, the elders. I mean, stepped up and really, really wonderfully. Alex, I know, preached for you. And you know, I don't know if you've ever been called to do that, but that's not the easiest thing in the world. You know, I mean, for the one on Sunday, it's like, hey, Alex, I'm going to be gone and I'm leaving in 30 hours. You need to preach Sunday. And he did that and did a wonderful job. And then last week for Mother's Day, and I was actually watching the Mother's Day service as we were driving up the interstate. I had it on my phone, so I was a part of that. But I just wanted to take a minute and thank you. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, it was the hardest thing I've ever been through. Not necessarily in ministry, but just personally, it was just a devastating time. And matter of fact, I have a picture here of my nephew and his family I wanted to share with you. That's Jeff in the middle. He's my only brother's only son. And that's his wife over beside the one with the pink hair. And then that's their two sons. And then, of course, they had the other little girl, Alyssa, who was 13. She turned 13 in March, and then this happened on April 31st. So that was the time frame of that, and it was just from my heart. What was really tough about it was that, you know, being part of the family, man, it was just devastating. But then they asked if I would conduct the funeral service, which I happily did. But that was tough. You know, imagine this room full of people, and these first three rows right here were all 13-year-old girls. That was the setting. And it's kind of weird how God works. Going down there, we were listening to a podcast, and Rick Warren said, the greater the hurt and the greater the tragedy, the less you say. He says, if you have a friend that, you know, loses something and they're upset about it, you can talk to them, you can work with them, you can help them find it. But the greater the tragedy, the less you say. He said, just show up and shut up. I thought, oh my gosh, this is God talking to me. You know, and you walk onto the into this home, and here's this young family just so devastated. And, you know, what can you say? I mean, really, there wasn't anything to say. But we tried to love on them, and the whole family was there and from out of town. And it was a wonderful time of healing. But I show you that picture just to ask you to continue to pray for Jeff and for April. And then their children is Madison is there with the pink hair. And then their boys, Jacob is beside me, and Christopher is there beside his dad. They're 16 and 17, and Madison is 21. So, and then their 13-year-old little sister was the one that died. So keep them in your prayers, and I would very much appreciate that. Well, let me jump into the message here this morning. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between Jim and Joe? You know, if you've got two guys sitting up front here in church, and you got Jim, you got Joe. What's the difference between Jim and Joe? Well, you always have one wise guy in the room, right? The last two letters. Let me tell you a few other things that might be different about them. You know, You know, they may both have been here for the last 20, 25, 30 years, right? I mean, they may have similarities in family and in jobs and in background. But in church, spiritually speaking, there's a lot of differences between Jim and Joe. Because Jim may be there with an open heart, while Joe might have a hard heart. Or Joe might be there with his Bible in hand, ready to dig in and to learn and to understand and to apply. And Joe's Bible might be somewhere that he couldn't even put his hands on it. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how different we are from each other? You know, I've even encountered, you know, husbands and wives where you have a wife that is so eager to follow Christ, and then you have a husband that's just like, whatever. I mean, how many times have you heard somebody? I've heard ladies say, "Yeah, he doesn't mind if I come to church," or "He doesn't mind if the kids and I go." There's such a difference between people. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us about today in Mark chapter 4. Now let me explain it to you this way. Let me show you the greatest picture that I took last week while I was away. Now I just want this to set into your mind and heart. Okay? I actually took this picture at Arlene and I went out with some high school friends, believe it or not. Some people that we haven't seen for like 45 years. They live in the area down there, and we called them, and he and his wife met us at a little restaurant in Townsend, Tennessee. You ever been to Townsend? Townsend's on the other side of the Great Smoky Mountains. You know, you got Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and Townsend is over on the other side. A lot of people don't get to Townsend, but we met in Townsend, and we went to this restaurant. It's called the Apple Valley Cafe. Okay, the food was okay, but man, I loved the condiment station. And you know what, Arlene, she's such a spoil sport. You know, I kept saying, "You know what, you want some more mayonnaise on that? I'll go get it for you." You know, just you know, that was so much fun. You know, and here's this guy. Believe it or not, the one guy that met us, she went to the junior prom with. And I asked him. I said, "Hey, Roland, you want some more mayonnaise? I'll go get it for you." She's like, oh. And I had to notice. Now, there's a reason for this. Please just stay with me here just for a moment. But as I looked around, I noticed how people looked at this differently. Arlene didn't even put anything on her burger just because she didn't want to touch it. And then there were people like me who's going around wanting to know, "Do you want some more ketchup? I'll get you some." It was amazing looking around at this large restaurant, and this was the only place that you could get ketchup and mayonnaise and mustard and barbecue sauce. And it was just amazing to look around at the way the people handled this differently. Arlene, like when we went in, she was like, "Do you really have to squeeze that?" I said, "Honey, don't you know what an udder is on a cow? You know, come on, everybody thinks you're a country girl." But it was amazing. Some people just stayed away from it. And some people were like, "This is the greatest thing that I ever thought." And it was so great to me, I took a picture of it. I sent it to the elders yesterday, didn't I? I mean, I thought this was the greatest thing in the world. You know what? Now, here's the point. And this is a serious point. I want you to get this. People that come in to hear the Word of God are not the same. Matter of fact, people that are in the audience or in the congregation of a church for decades are not the same. The Bible is so clear that there's some that grow, there's some that's eager, there's some that don't want to continue to drink milk, but want the solid food, they want the meat of the Word. But everybody's different. And I think that what we have here in Mark chapter 4 is Jesus gives us the answer to what the difference is in people. I want you to see this. Watch this. Look at this passage in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse number 1. It says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, they got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear again. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, and some 100 times. You see, Jesus here tells us the difference. Now listen, you can look at this parable from two different perspectives. You can look at it, and he explains it later on in the chapter. But you can look at it from the prospect of scattering seed, and then you can turn around and look at it from the perspective of receiving the seed. And you know, it's very, very plain here that he says, as far as sowing the seed, you just sow it. You don't think about where the seed is landing. You just put it out there and let it land where it will, and hopefully it'll be in some soil where it will grow. But as far as sowing the seed, he said the farmer tills the ground and then sows it. But I want to look at this parable from the perspective of receiving the seed, because sometimes people think that this parable is simply about four different kinds of people. But in reality, I think what it's about is it's about four conditions of your heart. See, because it's plain here that if you are rocky soil, you don't have to remain rocky soil. You know, if your heart is like the path and it doesn't even take root at all, you don't have to remain that way. You know, if your seed is being stolen by the weeds that grow up and take the nourishment from the good seed, you don't have to remain. We can all be that good seed, that moist soil that is ready and receptive and is hungry to receive the nourishment from the holy word of God. You see, that's the difference between Jim and Joe. Let me tell you the saddest word that any pastor has ever heard. And I'll guarantee you that you may have said this or something like this. I know there's been times that I have. But let me show you the saddest words that a pastor ever receives. It's when somebody comes up and says, Pastor, I'm just not being fed. Ever heard that? I've heard that. I've said that. But you know what we're saying when we say that? What we're saying is that you aren't sowing the seed correctly. You aren't giving me what I need or what I want or what I desire. And you know, there may be times when this is an appropriate thing to say. But I believe that most of the time this is a reflection of our soil, as much as it is anybody else's work in the kingdom of God. Because you know what? I've seen people sit in the same service and one be challenged beyond description in the kingdom of God, and the other person is just not moved. I remember Arlene and I went on a cruise one time. Had a marvelous time, had a wonderful time. Spent 8 or 9 days out on the water. The food was awesome. The entertainment was great. You know, the sun was, it's amazing. Just to sit on a beach for 8 days with Arlene, gosh, how could it get any better? It's like wonderful. And we came back, and I was reading on the internet reviews of our particular cruise. And I read a review of a person that was in the cabin next to me. And they said the people were awful. They weren't friendly. The room was a dirty mess. The food was almost unedible. The entertainment was just thrown together. The weather was bad. They were even talking about how God did a bad job. It was like they saw, and what I came away from that was that is this person on the same boat that I was? I would love to have just popped into there, wherever that person was, and said, let me talk to you about this for a minute. How could two people have such two totally different experiences doing the exact same thing? It's because their heart was different. My goodness, I wasn't in central Pennsylvania in the middle of winter. I was in the Caribbean. I wasn't having to make my bed. I got up one night and went to the bathroom. I came back. They had made my bed and put a piece of chocolate on my pillow. the food, I just couldn't believe it. And you know what, folks? That happens all the time in the kingdom of God. Go back to the beginning of my passage again. In Mark. Look at this. Look at what he says. He says, as he began to teach by the lake, the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he got out from the shore and he taught them from the boat. Now, if you remember, those first few chapters of Mark was all about the crowds. It was all about the sick. It was all about the demon-possessed. It was about the friends bringing the friend. It was all about these people just clamoring around Jesus, hungry for what he had. And here the crowd is again. And Jesus kind of turns the table on them. And he doesn't just, this is not a parable about Jesus healing. Matter of fact, he separates himself from the crowd. I think that is so important. It's so distinctive. And right here, he changes the message and he's saying, listen, if this isn't a moment about what you want or about what you want from me or about what I can give you, this is a moment about the condition of your heart. Because the condition of your heart is going to determine whether or not you receive a blessing from knowing Jesus. You know that old adage about you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Jesus had been healing people, but now he wants to give them something that will bless them for the rest of their days. You know what that is? A hungering heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I broke it down this way. I think Jesus gives us a wrong way and a right way. He gives us a wrong way and a right way. If you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 12, we didn't put that up there, did we? Yeah, grab verse 12 there real quick. I think I could paraphrase it, but it wouldn't be as good as the words. Watch how quick Kristen is here. She's so awesome. She's going to have this up there before I even finish talking. And there it is. Thank you, Kristen. That's my bad. Look at this. He says, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You see, one of the most difficult things in the kingdom of God is for you to sit where you're sitting week after week after week. and you experience the goodness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. You see it. It's there. It's right in front of you. But you don't perceive it. You see, Jesus here is saying the wrong way is that you see it. They had seen the miracles. They had seen all that Jesus did. They had all of that in their mind. But he said the worst thing that you could do is that you walk away seeing but not perceiving. You know, when I was thinking about this, my mind went back to Johnson University, you know, half a century ago almost. And Bob Martin, the campus minister that time, met with all the freshmen fall of 1979. And he said this, and I can quote him. He said, "You can come here to Johnson and you can get a 4.0 GPA. You can meet the requirements of your education. And then you can leave here not knowing Jesus as he wants you to know him." He said, "While your education here is so very important, the most important thing is that you experience Jesus." That's what the parable of the sower is about. The seed is going to come, but how is your heart ready to receive it? Go back to verse 12 again. Look at there. She even did that. There you go. Okay? All right. No, I don't even have to say it, do I? Okay. They were ever seeing but not perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. You know, one of the great tragedies, I think, of our time, and I'm just going to talk personally here, when I think about the age that I am and the things that I'm just now understanding. See, he says, ever hearing, but never understanding. Heard Rick Warren say one time that he was going to preach a sermon. I forget what the text was, but he had this text that he was going to preach. And he said to his church out in Southern California, he said, "I'm going to preach this sermon until I think you get it." That week, next week, same sermon. Next week, same sermon. Next week, same sermon. I don't know how long he went, but he went several weeks because he said, I'm going to preach this until I think that you are not just hearing it, but that you understand it. Because it's when you come to a point of understanding, that's when you do something about it. You know, that's when you understand how important taking care of yourself is to your body, heart, mind, and soul, that you finally make some changes that make a big difference in how you feel. Ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. You know, that could be a message in and of itself, a forgiveness. But let me show you where Jesus talks about the right way. You see, the wrong way is like being here and not getting it. And the thing about it is, I'm talking to some people here that you've been here a lot over the years, over the decades maybe, and there's still things about the Christian experience that you're not getting, that you've not acted on. And that's too bad. But look at what he says here. In did you get Mark 4:9? I wanted that one too. Da 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 da. This is my fault, folks. I was late getting these things to Kristen, and she is so wonderful. She makes whoever's up here look good so much. But you know, she can only do what we help her with. Here's the verse though. Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." I wonder what these folks heard Jesus say when he told this parable. Now we know later on the disciples, he had to go through the parable and explain it. If you look in the latter verses of of this passage, you'll see where Jesus does that. And he goes through and says, you know, the farmer now, and the soil and the rocky soil and the, you know, the path and the good soil, all that. He explains all those things. But I just want to go at this level of they heard it, but do they understand it? Because you see, folks, Jesus or Paul said in a lot of places in his epistles, he talked about how important it was to grow and to follow through. James said that faith without works is a dead faith. So it's not enough. It's not enough to hear. But we need to perceive. We need to understand. We need to follow through. You know, another person that we saw while we were gone, we went to dinner one evening with Brad Winland. You remember Brad? Brad and Kelly Winland, we called them. They live about 2 hours west of Knoxville. And we met and closed down a restaurant there one night. It was wonderful. But I remember Brad telling me that his grandmother pounded in him when he was a young man that, Brad, you will be as close to God as you want to be. See, folks, when we say, Pastor, I'm not being fed, that's placing our spiritual growth into someone else's hands. And you know what? God says that we have everything that we need to be everything that He wants us to be. Here, take a look at Psalm 34. I know she has this one up there because I did put it up there. Psalm 34. I love this passage. You know, here, read it with me, would you? Let's read it together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. You know, I have a pat answer when people say, you know, Pastor John, I'm just not being fed. You know what I like to say to them? Grab a fork and a knife and pull up to the table. Right? Taste and see. And you know what? There's no better feeling in the world than experiencing God in this deep level. Not putting it on anybody else, not saying that our spiritual growth is anybody else's responsibility but our own, understanding that seed has been sown in our lives, but it's all about the condition of our heart and its receptibility to that seed that has been planted. You know, I look back on my life and I know there were times that there were things planted in me that it took a long time to grow. But man, oh man, when it finally takes root and when we see and hear and perceive and understand, it's a beautiful place to be in God's hands. Because you know what? Then you become a sower. Then you become a sower of the seed that Jesus is talking about. You know, one quick thought about the condiment cow, okay? Started there, let me end there. For the life of me, I wanted people, now this is hyperbole, okay? I didn't, it wasn't as bad as it sounds. Okay, I was really wanting Arlene to say, come on, honey, let's go up to the condiment cow. Let's get us some toppings on this hamburger. And you know what? She wouldn't do it. She never did do it. Tell her this morning when you see her, she should have done that. And you know what? As silly as it sounds, I experience that all the time with people in their relationship with God. You know, you talk to people and you pray with people and you share with people and you witness and you lay your heart out there and you just know that if they would do exactly what this passage says, that if they would just taste of the goodness of God, that it would be something that they would never want to let go. And folks, that's our job. Jesus says that's our job, to take this message to the crowds. But let's make sure that we keep on the lookout for that heart that is so receptive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the one. We don't put our time in those other areas because we know what's going to happen. But when you are a receptive heart and when you experience a receptive heart to Jesus Christ, it is one of the most beautiful things that you ever see on earth or even in heaven. Because that's the person that God's going to use to sow His seed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know, Lord, we are a lot of Jim and Joes here this morning. Some of us, Lord, came ready to worship, ready to receive Your word. Lord, even ready to break that bread and share in that blood of the vine. And God, I just thank You so much that we do have that opportunity. That, Lord, it's all there. God, it's so sad when we or anyone else has the attitude of placing our spiritual growth in the hands of anyone else. God, the Bible says that all we have to do is to look at the sky and it screams the glory of God. But yet, Lord, we allow the hardness of our heart, the weeds growing in our lives, the scorched sun, to just take away, Lord, those things that You want to take root in our hearts. So, Lord, may our heart be receptive and pliable today as we receive this word. And I just wonder, Lord, how many people went away from Jesus that day disappointed because there didn't seem to be any great healing service. Jesus just pushed away and taught them. But God, what He told them that day was so, so important. So Lord, may it be important to us. May we show that in how we live and how we receive You and how, Lord, we try to share this message with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.